Don't you wish you were the one having read a sermon on that gospel reading today? Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Both of those lines are emphatic. Both of them are punctuated by an exclamation point. There seems to be more emotion here than there is so often in the recorded sayings of Jesus. Perhaps Luke is placing the emphasis here in Jesus' mouth, but whether that is the case or not, that's how we have it today. These two lines belie a sense of urgency. They point to a part of Jesus that may make us a bit uncomfortable. Isn't this the same Jesus that looks on the crowds with compassion because they are like a sheep without a shepherd? Isn't this the same Jesus that wishes he could gather them under his wings like a brooding hen? He calmed seas when the folks in the boat were fearful. He fed those with no food in abundance. 5,000 people at one time, 4,000 another. What is this business about coming to bring fire? And if that doesn't perk our ears enough, Jesus goes further with this. He continues with, do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And again, his words are punctuated with an exclamation point. This is not an iffy statement. Jesus is not just putting this out as an item for discussion or feeling the waters to see how the crowd will respond. He emphatically states that he has not come to bring peace, but division. So much for our nice Christmas cards and hymns that say peace on earth, goodwill to men, or people, or whatever. Here we have a very different experience of Jesus. He seems to be at his wit's end. His patience, which he so often seems to have an endless supply of, is exhausted. Here Jesus' exclamations seem to show his exasperation and deep frustration that folks are not understanding the reality of the demand to truly follow him. The last time I encountered this gospel reading was in 2007, August 19th, to be exact. I was in a parish that had been through a painful split less than 2 years prior, a split that literally divided families. Jesus said, from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. While we might not find the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law division too terribly shocking, we have to admit that the division of father versus son, and mother versus daughter, and vice versa seems to push the message to the extreme. How could those tight bonds be broken by the message of the gospel? Certainly, nothing about the good news of Jesus could cause families to split apart. The people of St. John's, Tallahassee, Florida knew differently and knew it firsthand. Families were literally divided. Older parents remained at St. John's while their adult children left to become a part of the newly formed Anglican Church of the province of Uganda, three blocks down the street. Siblings and cousins had the same experience and the same pain. The gospel, for the way the gospel was presented, divided. And everyone thought that their own understanding was absolutely right. I'm certain that each side resonated with today's reading. In some instances, it was worn like a medal of honor, as if family divisions proved the validity of Jesus' words. The will of God is so often difficult to discern for us mortals. We can be so easily swayed in one way or another, and so easily convinced of our rightness. I have to confess, I truly dislike this gospel reading. I don't want Jesus to say he came not to bring peace, but to bring division. I want him to say, I came to bring peace, but you will cause it to be divisive. That's not what he said. At least not in this reading that we have weighed heavily on us today. And the truth of the matter is, there is division. There was division. And unfortunately, I feel certain that there always will be division. We just are not going to agree on everything. The truly unfortunate result is when our disagreement leads to our division. Over this weekend, our diocese held a pilgrimage to Hayneville, Alabama, where Jonathan Myrick Daniels was killed when he put himself in the path of a gunshot that was aimed at the then 16-year-old Ruby Sales. Andrew, our youth minister, and several of our youth took part in this pilgrimage. Ruby Sales came to be a part of this important event this weekend. It must have taken a great deal of courage for Miss Sales to go back there. It was in 1965 when this incident took place. Ruby was a 16-year-old girl in the midst of a huge struggle. Jonathan Daniels was a young seminarian from the Northeast who had taken the words of Martin Luther King Jr. to heart and found his calling to be part of the transformation in the South at a time when there was a great divide and injustice. Each had been arrested for several days, along with several others, and upon their release, with no means of travel away from Hayneville, they had ventured into a store that served both blacks and whites in order to get something to drink. When they ventured into this store, they encountered a man who had changed their lives forever and end one of them. The man wielding the gun intended to end the life of this 16-year-old black girl. But Daniels shielded her so that the shot that was intended for her was taken by him, ending his life. This sounds so unreal. It is hard for me to imagine that this actually has happened, that someone would be so filled with hatred that he could pull out a gun and kill another person for no other reason but the color of her skin. But we know that this is our history. This is our story. We are divided. Families were and probably still are divided over the issue of race and justice and equality. I spent a good deal of time trying to make my way through the web of the internet to find the obituary of Thomas L. Coleman, the man who fired the gun that killed that day in 1965. Because I felt certain that he was a member of a church. I felt certain that he was a person of deep conviction who believed that what he was doing was in some way not incongruent with the words of the gospel. I never found that obituary, but I am no less convinced that Mr. Coleman, at the time of his seemingly horrific action, was convinced that he was right, and that Jesus, or at least his church, would support him in his action. We are still divided. We're divided on racial matters, and we're divided on our understanding of human sexuality. We're divided on our call to take care of widows and orphans and homeless and immigrants. We're divided by our security being threatened, both nationally and individually. Jesus doesn't seem to add any words of comfort to this dividedness. He said that he came to bring division. These words are not comfortable. They are hard words. These words sound like Jesus throwing down the gauntlet. Are you with me or are you not? The hard task for us is to know where Jesus is on these matters that so deeply affect our lives. For now, in a time of uncertainty, we do well to live together in the uneasiness, in the uncertainty, remembering that above all else, the call is to love. Amen.